Hi everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you in this special episode of the podcast Hjärtats rum Järvsö. Today I have a very special guest that has meant so much for my own development within the area of horse assisted coaching and also in the spiritual area as well. I have Kathy Pike with me, one of the four runners in these areas. Welcome, Kathy, all the way from Colorado, USA.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Why don't you share a bit with our listeners who you are and where's your passion in life?
Absolutely. So as Ida has already said, my name is Kathy Pike, and I started coaching with horses about, I think it's almost 20 years ago now. That's my website address. And all of my life, I've been very deeply connected to Mother Earth and all of her creatures. I always loved animals. And I also was and still am a very intuitive individual. So I would go out in nature and hear things and see things and just had that special sort of way of being in the world that that probably all the listeners can relate to, but many other people find that rather odd. So I kept that kind of secret for a long time. I became a life coach, I guess, in my 30s. Before that, I was an extreme athlete. I did big rock climbing adventures, you know, doing just absolutely crazy stuff, mountaineering, river running, big bicycle, mountain bike trips, did all kinds of outdoor sporting things, would go out and camp for 2 weeks at a time, just out in the wilderness. And that was always fascinating to come back into society. So I've always had the pull to Mother Earth and all of her creatures. And in my 20s, I actually took horseback riding lessons. But I was thrown and dragged in one of the lessons. And it was super traumatic for me. And I walked away from that barn. I never went back, never got my stuff. I write about this in my first book, Hope from the Heart of Horses. Mm-hmm. And that had a profound effect on me. And I stayed away from horses for a long time after that. And then I was on the coast of Oregon writing my first book, a book about the chakra system. And this beautiful woman was riding a horse bareback down the beach with another little horse ponying beside her. And it was the day after 9/11. And I just felt my whole body respond so strongly to this visual. The ocean was so gentle. It was a very quiet day, as you can imagine. And this woman's hair was flowing in the wind. It was so iconic. And I was very drawn and ended up getting up and walking to her and talking to her. And I ended up going to her farm and working with a horse named Hope. And that was the beginning of my path with horses. And when I had a round pen experience with her, I realized that in about 5 minutes, she showed me a huge piece of myself that it was so instant and so in my body and so readily available to me through the senses that it was a life-changing experience for me. And in that moment, I knew, okay, I've been a life coach for a while now, and I love horses. I've always wanted to have horses. I had this traumatic experience with horses, but yet this horse has done with me what would take me maybe 3 months or 6 months to help somebody get or understand. And she did it so quickly, and it was so powerful that I knew immediately that I wanted to bring horses into sessions with people. I wanted people to experience similar things to what I had experienced, and the power of the horse to reveal to us our blind sides, my blind sides, and yeah, and not aggressively, just really, as you know, Ida, because you have your ponies now, you know how they just show us very sometimes very gently, sometimes very subtly, and other times very powerfully, because they are big, powerful animals, and they can express at many different levels at different times. Yeah.
How is it, you think, that they can reach our hearts so profoundly and so quickly?
Well, I think that there's a way that the horses are in the world that we as a society have moved away from. I wouldn't say that we've always been away from it or that everybody has always been away from it. But it almost, to me, they are like I was as a child, the little girl that would go out in the woods and wander around and listen to the birds and listen to the crunching of leaves and feel the wind and feel the sun and feel the change of the temperatures and be so fully part of nature without any agenda. I feel that that's how they are naturally, and that most people are in awe of them anyways. They're physically so beautiful. So we're drawn to them naturally. We come to them. We're with them. They have this powerful way of being present because they're so tuned into nature. And they're not judgmental, as you know, we know as a human experience, judgment is such a fascinating thing to really start to notice, because most people are running judgment all day long. Mm-hmm. And horses just don't. They are able to be present with us and listen to us and be with us in this spacious way. Mm-hmm. And I think people feel safe. And when we feel safe in their space, then we can be more in our own body, and what is residing in the body can begin to move, it can begin to heal, it can begin to express, it can begin to awaken.
Yeah.
And it's all in this safe space, mind you, because we're not asking the horse necessarily to perform for us, to carry us on their backs, to be what we have really conditioned them to be. You know, when I first get into this work, I remember I'd walk my horses at this ranch just beside them, because I've never been really, really interested in riding. I have ridden a lot, but it's not my absolute passion. My passion is being with horses. But I would walk my horses, and of course, you know, some guy would go by in their truck and say, "Hey, little missy, how come you're not on the horse's back?" You know, and I would always be like, you know, we see them. We have trained our culture to only see them as providing us this quote unquote riding experience. Mm-hmm. Or plowing our fields or doing something for us. And even in this new wave of being with horses in this way, to some degree, we're still in that they're doing something for us. But it's still not a readily acceptable or understandable experience, because we're so conditioned that they're for riding. Horses are for riding. Dogs are for companions. Cats are for companions. Yeah. So I'm not even sure if I answered your question. Did I kind of get going? And
Do you think that all horses enjoy being in these kind of conversations with humans, or are there just a select few?
Well, I think all horses are in conversation with humans unless they've been severely traumatically affected, that they're shut down and they're just not present, or they have been punished severely for being in conversation because they had a very dominant, predatory type of person who was in partnership with them, or that's not really partnership, but who was dominating them, and therefore they never had a voice. Mm-hmm. So there's that group of horses. And then say, I can't put a percentage on it, but all the other horses that have owners that are listening to them, that are paying attention to them, there's a conversation always going on. It's the person who has the horse who is responsible on how much they're going to listen to that conversation. And most people that are new to the conversation, that are new to say that are really allowing that horse to have an opinion, that horse to speak in the way that they speak. They don't really know how to do it at first. It's a little bit, it takes them back a little bit. So there's a learning curve for people to open up to the conversation, because the horses are always telling us something. Even if they're our riding partner, they are telling us things about how tight the saddle is, how they like the bit or they don't like the bit, if it's a bad day for them, if they feel a little bit colicky, if we've taken them down the wrong path and they're telling us, hey, this path would be a lot easier and quicker back to the ranch. They're always having that conversation with us. But then there's the deeper conversation when we as a human being say, okay, I surrender my ego. Mm-hmm. I surrender my desires. I surrender all of my agendas. And I'm going to come and be with you, horse, in the way that you want to be with me and don't want to be with me. Mm-hmm. And my primary focus in this type of spiritual exploration with you is to be with you in the way that you are in the world, not in the way that I want you to be in the world for me.
That's
a shift in consciousness. It's a shift in, it's a paradigm shift that it takes some time to be able to do that. Because again, as human beings, we're so conditioned to have agenda, to have judgments, to have desires, to have expectations. We've got all this stuff. And then the horse is simply there. The horse is a horse. The horse's natural way of being in the world is one of grazing. It is one of stillness. They don't exert energy unless they have to. You look at our culture these days and everybody's exerting energy and just in that rat race of social media now and computers and then just the rat race of life. And so they give us that refuge. And when we say, okay, I'm going to surrender and I want to have a new way of being in the world. Mm-hmm. I want to learn a different way of being with myself and being in relationship to myself. And we go to them open and we practice the fine art of doing nothing and breathing and taking in nature and all of that. Then the conversation goes way deeper. It goes way deeper.
Really beautiful the way you put it, that you can find a new relationship both to yourself and to your surroundings through that.
Yeah.
Because that's my own experience, that when I started to meet horses in the way that you described, the relationship to myself was completely changed. And that in turn opened doors to a whole new world. And also the spiritual world. And I wonder, when did that door open for you, or have it always been open?
Well, my connection to the spiritual world has always been there, you know, and I write a lot about that in my book, Horse Spirits Speak, because I channel messages from the horse spirits. But then before each chapter, I write about my intuition and moments in time where my intuition has come through. And I would say that when I'm in my true authentic space, I can connect with animals really, really easily. Mm-hmm. But probably as you've also seen and know from what you're experiencing, that when I go to them and I have stress and my mind is really busy about what I need to do in the future or what I need to resolve about the past, then the relationship isn't quite as readily available to me, or there's still a conversation going on. But my awareness isn't really in that moment spiritually with the horse or with nature. So I would say for me personally that it's been an evolution, and there's been times in my life that I've been really disconnected from my spiritual path. I mean, I had a pretty hard, when I was 19 and 20, I write about it in which book do I write about it? I touch on it in Hope. I had a drug problem. I mean, I was 19 and 20. I'm much older than that now, and I've gone through a lot. But I was way off my course, way off the path. So I think that people are drawn also to horses because unconsciously and intuitively we know by looking at them, when we see them out in a field grazing, or maybe they're even as a group running, or there's two of them that are grooming each other, there is a presence there that's so authentic that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that they're doing what's natural for them to be doing. And I think human beings on an unconscious level want that. We want to return to what we are most naturally here to do, express, or be, and instead of filling what society wants us to do, you know, do have, say, be. So that it is almost like this projection, or even like you look at a horse and you was like, for me, it's like sometimes I just wish I could be a horse, you know, and live on the land. And of course, when it's hailing out, I don't feel that way, but yeah.
But I think it's so fascinating because, it was quite a few years ago now when I first joined your online training in Horse Spirits Speak, where you channel the horse ancestors. And to me, that was the first real serious step into the spiritual world. And I've taken many since, but this was of such great importance for me. And it will always stay in my heart, a very special memory from that. And I wonder, can you share with the listeners what the horse ancestors are?
Yeah, I would love to. And I'm wondering if you'd be, I mean, you're saying that it was a real big opening for you.
I was.
Can you say more about that?
Well, so in this class, Kathy taught us how to work with our own energy field. And that was an important start, I think, because doing that, learning how to run the energy and connect to Mother Earth and also to the higher light, sort of physically opened doors in my mind that also made it possible to me to listen in. When you were channeling in those calls, you were channeling messages from the horse ancestors, and when you did that, I could feel it in myself as well, which was a brand new experience for me. It wasn't just physically listening, but I could listen with my body as well. And yeah, that was such an important step in my own development.
Yeah. And I think that this part that you're touching on, this feeling it through the body, many times people realize that they have things in their body. People realize that they have emotions that they don't want to work with or deal with, because sometimes the pain of the past is just, it feels too enormous to face now in the present. And we just want to be happy. So we try to put that happy face on it and push it aside and stuff it and all of that. And I would say in my on-site work with horses, so much of it has to do with coming back into our body and feeling the body and allowing some of the old emotion to move through it and to heal, and for that to be cleansed, for lack of better words, to really cleanse the energy field and to feel whole again without the energetic clutter. And then so we learn how to do that in our bodies and be more present and not let emotions not only run us in the moment, but also kind of control us from the past experiences. Then we also get to experience that the gateway to our spiritual path is through the body. It is through the vibrational experience, and that most people, or some people, I shouldn't say most people, that sounds too judgmental, but a lot of times individuals will think that they have to try really hard to get their energy higher up. Like, I'm going to force my energy to go higher up. And what I'm hearing you say is that instead, you're able to feel the vibration of that physical, spiritual, not physical, the spiritual presence through your physical body.
Yeah.
And in that comes the healing and the awakening and the opening of these senses that we all have them. Mm-hmm. And the horses are using them all the time. And so they help us to come more deeply into the body, to come into more of the primal sensory awareness aspects, to be able to ride the uncomfortable energy in our body. But they also are the bridge to the higher spiritual level, where we can transcend the confines of the everyday life and everyday moment, and instead dissolve ourselves into the actual moment of infinity, eternity, whatever it might be. You know, sometimes when I facilitate individuals at the round pen, there will be moments that get so elongated because time stands still or time stretches. There is no more time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you exactly know. And so it's fascinating that this being, this gentle giant being, can help us on so many levels. If I look at the chakra system, they literally can help us with the opening, the igniting, the awakening, the healing of any of the energies in any of those centers. And I find that so fascinating. And it really, quite often, rather effortless.
Oh, even so. That's fantastic. I think you have a big thing or something very important there that you said, that we try so hard and that's not it. It's about opening up and relaxing, and then it comes to us. But we people try. We always try so hard.
Sometimes the trying is also about having the control.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the spiritual awakening and spiritual connection for me has always come when I'm not trying so darn hard. I mean, there's a practice, you know, there's the practice of emptying the mind. There's the practice of being mindful. There's the practice of being in our bodies and being aware of what we're feeling. And all those practices, I think, builds more confidence for the individual to then surrender to, you could call it a higher God, a higher being, a higher force, the universe, the creator, whatever anybody wants to call that or wishes to call it. There's a lot of vulnerability in being in a spiritual path.
Yeah, there is, for sure. And I'm thinking, here in Sweden at least, perhaps it's in the entire West world, the interest for different healing modalities is increasing year by year now. And if we think about horses as they provide a healing environment, how could we describe that to someone who hasn't had any healing experience with horses before?
Wow. Well, how would you do that? I mean, because you're so fresh, you know, with it. How, somebody said to you, oh, you have a farm now and you have these Shetland ponies and you've got some other animals. So, well, how does that work? What would you tell them?
I would probably say that the first you have the physical experience when you come close to a horse, just plain and simple due to their huge magnetic field, you will experience a drop in blood pressure and you have oxytocins and all kinds of wellness hormones in your body. So that's easy to understand. But then also, if you give yourself the chance, as you say, to quiet your mind, get inside your body and just open up for the impressions that are there, the horse can share its energy field with you. And if you're just sharing the energy field, there will be a healing because your own tensions in your field will start to dissolve. I don't know. Do you think that's crazy?
No, I think that's right on. I know, I was just on a class last night, and not to correct you, but
yeah, please.
I've been working with this guy a couple of times, and he keeps saying he's very careful about how he says things, so he's not making any claims or promises that healing will happen. So I think everything that you're saying is fantastic, and we approach it with there's the possibility of you getting, having, you know, this increase of your oxytocin. Because for some people, actually, there's a possibility that a lot of fear is going to come up.
Right about that. You're right about that.
But what you're saying is really lovely. And then also there's a possibility that a person could feel more grounded because the horses, they're 10 times larger than we are for the most part. Excuse me. And they have a bigger physical presence, which is going to give them that larger energy, magnetic energy field that you're speaking of. And for the most part, if they're in a comfortable environment, all that weight, that physical being is very, very grounded. Mm. And often a person can enter into that space and not only feel that unconditional presence of the horse,
yeah,
but also feel being grounded in that space with the horse. Mm. And then from there, that it's a dance of an unknown, but a dance of discovery. And whatever the horse wants to bring forward and the person wants to explore.
And I think you're very right about that, that it's always, it's a possibility to heal, but only you can really make it happen, because if you don't open up for it, it won't happen. It requires an intention and a willingness to be vulnerable, perhaps.
Yep. And I know for me, because I live in this world so much, I can just go to, well, this will happen and that will happen. And so this man who has been my teacher for this month, I'm like, this is one of my learnings here. This is what he's helping me with, is that I have to be more careful, because I mean, I've been on a spiritual path most of my life and deeply for the last 30 years, and at times getting completely off from it, because that happens too. But it's me, it's who I am.
Yeah.
So I see the possibility so strong that I speak in the, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but really we don't really know. And if we approach it in that way, sometimes people have the expectation, then they're mad. They're like, you told me I was going to have oxytocin. I'm crying. So I do try to say lots of different things can happen, but mm-hmm. the horse will more than likely want to show you some things or be in communication with you, or will be with you in a certain way that will highlight things for you to consider, to learn, to integrate, to understand, to embrace, that sort of stuff. Yeah. It's kind of hard to explain, especially I think if the work is more on the spiritual side.
Yeah.
If you're doing there's opportunity courses or obstacle courses, whichever you'd like to call them, where you're more active with the horse. And I do those types of sessions also. I actually really love them. Mm-hmm. And so those sessions are easier to talk about, right? Well, you're going to come to my ranch and you're going to meet a bunch of horses, and then one of them will be your teacher. And then we'll take that horse and we'll do some things. And as we're doing those things, though, you're going to learn about the horse and the horse is going to teach you some things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they probably, more than likely, they're going to be, aspects of yourself that you know about or don't know about, that if you are willing to engage with a horse this way, could change your leadership skills. It could help you with your boundaries. It could help you with your communication skills. And then now we're going into the more concrete way to talk about the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And for most people, that's so much easier. Much easier.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is, that us humans, that we have, that is such a challenge for us to talk about the more abstract stuff?
I think that there's different strokes for different folks. I think that, everybody's at different places. It's just like with the horses, some horses are so deep and soulful and and going back to one of the questions you asked earlier, they are very interested in teaching human beings. They're like they're old souls or something. They they really step up to do the work. I'll always, when I bring a new horse onto my farm, they watch sessions before they actually facilitate a session. And I can tell when they're ready because they're, the way that they are looking and the way that they're engaged with the observation of a session tells me that they're getting it. Mm-hmm. And some horses will get it very quickly and they will want it very quickly. They'll actually have had horses like start to bang on the fence, like, wait a minute, I got things to say over here too, you know, let me do the next session. And then I've worked with other horses that are like, well, okay, if you insist, you know, they're like, I really like the jumping stuff that I do with my human. We go to these, you know, events and jump over things and then I get ribbons. I like that better because some horses actually really love to be ridden. I mean, let's face it. Some of them, they love the adventure. They love the physicalness of it. So the horses are just as different as we, as humans are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the openness or the willingness of exploring something like this is all across the board.
Yeah.
And I do think that a lot of it has to do with what a person has been exposed to, what has already been introduced to them.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier before we started the call that, or maybe you said it during the call, that more people in Sweden are becoming interested in this work, right?
Yes.
And why do you suppose that's happening now and not 30 years ago when it all began?
Yeah, I believe that there's this larger energy shift going on actually that sort of helps us moving in the right in quotation marks direction, but in a direction where we are more interested in this, these areas.
Yeah, there's, you know, years ago, probably 20 years ago, I was at an event with Bruce Lipton where he had actually mapped out patterns in the universe, and he relates everything to the back to the cell of the body, which is really fascinating. But one of the pieces that really stuck out for me is that he said, according to the patterns, that this particular time in our creation of history, it's when people are seeking spiritually. People are starting to really seek different answers to questions they have not asked previously.
Yeah, yeah. And I think many of us are looking for that feeling of connection, being connected to nature, to animals, to Mother Earth, to the stars, to something more than just ourselves.
And to ourselves.
Yeah, to ourselves as well. Yes.
Like this sense of connection, I think, is connected to, relates to the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
And for somebody to feel complete and to feel, complete, for somebody to feel that sense of, I don't want to use the word belonging because the belonging is what gives it to us. And, you know, if you look at a herd of horses, the herd that's really healthy is when everybody in the herd knows where they belong.
Mm.
And they have that sense of, yes, this is my herd. This is where I belong.
Yeah.
And then the one that's booted off to the side, that's the one that usually generally doesn't look as healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, because they don't have a herd that they belong to. And when we feel like we belong, then we feel connected to others. And I think it's safer and easier to then create a deeper connection with oneself also.
Yeah, right about that. And I can feel for myself because we moved from the city now up north from where I'm from originally. And I feel like I've come back to my herd, even though there are new people and new acquaintances that I haven't had before. But it still feels like, you know, this is home to me, both the land and the people. And I feel such a strong connection sense of belonging. And that also, I would say that gives a peace on the inside that opens up even more for the connection with what's around me and what's inside.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm hearing that the move brought you into an environment that you feel more authentic also, and you feel more connected.
Yeah.
And that you belong there. So therefore, it's probably, I'm going to assume, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's easier for you to tap in on the spiritual levels, especially when you're out there with your animals, right?
Yeah, it is. It's closer. It feels like the veil is thinner.
yeah, exactly. Yep, and everybody's on their own trajectory of when and if they decide to be on a spiritual path, and then of course all spiritual paths can look quite different.
Yeah.
And for those of us who have embraced Mother Earth and her creatures as part of our path, then of course, you know, we think it's the only way or the best way or the juiciest way, right? Yeah, because it works for us. For other people, it might be literally dancing or playing golf. There's, you know, something about flow for them, or that's what it's also, it just makes it so, we're all so different. And the world is such a rich place, and every single horse is different. And, you know, they teach differently, and they show up differently. They have different things to offer those individuals who want to come and be open to their offerings and teachings. Yeah. And I do believe that there are people like yourself and me, and probably many people who are listening, mm-hmm. who are, maybe they're even listening and they're having an experience right now, that they're feeling something in their heart, or they're maybe having some tears come to their eyes, and they have the calling, and they may be opening up right now to the realization that their calling isn't to be in the city still, that it has served, but maybe their calling is to go out where there's more land and have dogs, or have chickens, or have horses, or take people on hiking tours, or because they're listening to you and I and it's about horses, that it's for them to come back home to the horses, that probably at one time in one life we were all part of that herd.
Yeah.
That greater herd, and now we've come back as humans to bring the wisdom to other humans, and the veils keep getting thinner and thinner, right?
Wow, that's so beautiful, Kathy. That's, oh yeah, you know, that goes straight to my heart. I think perhaps that will be a great ending note for this conversation, though I would love to speak for another hour or two because you have so much wisdom to share with us. But let's wrap it up here. If there's anything that you would like to say to our listeners, if they have listened now and feel that, wow, I don't have a horse with me right now, or I don't have it tomorrow either, but is there anything I can do? Just something to feel a little closer to myself right now. What could that be?
Well, as far as, you know, what I tell people if they listen to me talk about horses or a conversation like this where we're talking about these beautiful creatures and they're having a visceral response, that it might be that their path is to be with horses. And it might be that their path is to get with horses to find out what their path is.
Mm.
Like the horses are ready for them to come for whatever part that they need, whatever teaching that they need right now in their life. So whether, you know, they decide to sign up for a program, come out to your farm and be with you, that we have to follow our hearts. And I know that sounds so darn trite, but it's the truth, because our heart knows. Our heart is so intelligent. And if we feel the pull, if we're brought to tears, those tears are often tears of longing, tears of recognition, tears of desire, tears of knowing. We have to follow that. So I would suggest for anybody who's moved by these conversations that you're having, the one we're having today, is to find a way to get with horses, start reading books about horses, start watching some of these amazing movies about horses, ones that are nice, not cruel, because that in itself can awaken something deep inside of a person that wants to come forward.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I think continuing to pay attention to when we're moved by something and why are we moved by that? What was moving about that? Maybe it's something that we see. Maybe it's something that we physically experience. What is it about that that is making my body respond so powerfully and it's bringing me to tears? And follow that thread. I think that's the best thing we can do on a day-to-day basis. Slowing down and breathing.
Oh, that's some really good recommendations, Kathy. And for all of you who are really curious about Kathy now, she gives online programs as well, and you can find them on www.coachingwithhorses.com, right, Kathy? Yeah.
Yes.
And I really recommend the Horse Spirit Speaks program, which I've participated in quite a few times. I love that program. But I also love Kathy's books, and there are, for example, Hope from the Heart of Horses, Horse Spirit Speak, and Life Lessons from the Heart of Horses. And there are even more books if you just Google on Kathy Pike. And that might be just something to read in front of the fireplace during Christmas. I don't know. Maybe Santa comes with a book for you. I really recommend that reading. And thank you now, Kathy, so much for joining me in this conversation. It means a lot to me. And thank you.
Well, thank you. And I'm so excited that you followed your heart and got involved with horses. You came into the Horse Spirit Speak. And now look at you. You're on this beautiful piece of property and you have animals there. You have your ponies there and you're living the life that you knew was there.
Yeah.
And you opened it up and you created it. Congratulations.
Thank you. I followed the calling of the heart, and your help was invaluable. Thank you so much. So, everyone, thank you all for listening. I'll see you soon again, or listen, hear you soon again, next Monday in this podcast, Hjärtats rum Järvsö. Take care. Bye-bye.